we had a 1,200% increase in sales using TikTok ads.
My name is Linda, and I'm a co-founder of Love & Pebble. We created Beauty Pops, a frozen facial that melts into nourishing skincare.
I started this business with my husband, and we do everything from packing orders, marketing.
Before, it was just me creating videos, but now I have over 2,000 affiliates that are working with us. If we can do it with TikTok ads, you can too.
Want to grow your business fast? Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. The Vatican announced Pope Francis has died a day after delivering his final blessing on Easter Sunday.
Francis was history's first Latin American pontiff, who charmed the world with his humble style and concern for the poor, but alienated some conservatives with critiques of capitalism and climate change. Francis suffered from chronic lung disease and had part of one lung removed as a young man. He was admitted to Gemelli Hospital in Rome on February 14 for a respiratory crisis that developed into double pneumonia. He spent 38 days there. On February 12 this year, Pope Francis told the faithful, I think about the so many countries at war. Sisters, brothers, let's pray for peace. Let's do our best for peace. Don't forget that war is a defeat, always. Francis signalled a different tone for the papacy, stressing humility over hubris for a Catholic Church beset by scandal and accusations of indifference. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
AP correspondent Jennifer King reports on a second signal chat involving Secretary Hegseth.
The New York Times is reporting that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had a second signal messaging chat where he shared details of a March military airstrike against Houthi militants in Yemen. The chain of 13 people, dubbed Defense Team Huddle, included his wife Jennifer and his brother Phil Hegseth, who's been hired at the Pentagon. The Associated Press was able to confirm the messages with some of those involved. The Times reports that the second chat shared similar details, like warplane launch time, that were included in a chat that came to light when an editor at The Atlantic was added to the group. Late Sunday, White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly dismissed the report as a non-story, insisting that no classified information was shared. Multiple officials have said sharing those operational details on an unsecured platform before a strike could have put pilots in danger. Hegseth's use of signal and the sharing of such plans are under investigation by the Defense Department's Acting Inspector General, Jennifer King, Washington.
This is AP News. Houthi rebels say U.S. airstrikes killed 12 people and injured 30 others in Yemen's capital. It's the latest in the U.S.'s intensified campaign targeting the group. Overnight strikes also hit other areas of the country. An Israeli deputy commander has been fired after the Israeli government says it found professional failures in its investigations of the killings of 15 Palestinian medics last month in Gaza. Medics have special protection under international humanitarian law. The International Red Cross called it the deadliest attack on its personnel in 8 years. El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele has proposed a prisoner swap with Venezuela. On X, Bukele directed a post to Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro saying he would exchange Venezuelan deportees from the U.S. held in his country with political prisoners detained in Venezuela. In his post, Bukele listed off family members of high-level opposition figures in Venezuela and journalists and activists detained during last year's electoral crackdown. I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
The Trump administration continues defending its decision to deport Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a Maryland man, to an El Salvador prison, even as officials acknowledge an error in the move. Border Czar Tom Homan.
We've done the right thing for this nation, following the laws and the Constitution of this country.
Insisting he's an MS-13 gang member, although not charged with any crimes.
You can't ignore a tattoo. That's one more factor that leads you to believe maybe he's a gang member.
Democratic Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen went to El Salvador to press for Abrego Garcia's release.
I am not defending the man. I'm defending the rights of this man to due process.
He says the Trump administration needs to take it to court.
My mission and my purpose is to make sure that we uphold the rule of law, because if we take it away from him, we do jeopardize it for everybody else.
Audio courtesy ABC News this week. New York's $9 congestion toll on most drivers entering Manhattan below 60th Street remained in effect Sunday, despite an Easter deadline from the Trump administration to halt the First in the Nation fee. The state agency overseeing the tolls, the MTA, confirmed Sunday that its system of traffic cameras continues to collect the fee. The Trump Transportation Department rescinded federal approval for the program in February, calling it a slap in the face of working-class Americans and small business owners, and initially gave New York until March 21st to comply before extending the date to April 20th. The Transportation Department saying it would not hesitate to use every tool at our disposal if the state failed to stop the toll. Julie Walker, New York.
Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has written a sharp dissent, castigating seven of his fellow justices for temporarily blocking the Trump administration from deporting Venezuelans being held in northern Texas under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Only Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas dissented. Alito says the seven-member majority acted literally in the middle of the night and without sufficient explanation in blocking the Trump administration, and that there was dubious factual support for granting the request for an emergency appeal from the American Civil Liberties Union. The ACLU contended that immigration authorities appeared to be moving to restart the removals of Venezuelans. Alito also says both the executive and judiciary have an obligation to follow the law, and he says that it's not clear whether the Supreme Court had jurisdiction at this stage of the case. Shay Giannorio is attending a job fair in Kansas City, Missouri, something she didn't think she'd have to do.
I think I'm still shocked about it, and it's impacting my entire life and my children's life.
The 46-year-old single mom is also packing up boxes. She's canceled her apartment lease, is selling her new furniture, and may have to pull her daughter out of college. Giannorio was a federal worker for the Administration for Children and Families. But one day last month, she says she reported for work and her access card didn't work. A co-worker let her into the building.
I logged into my computer and I had two emails, and it was the one saying, "We are sorry, but you are terminated, effective June 2nd, and then one from my boss saying, "I've been terminated, here's my personal information," and that was it.
The impact of Trump administration federal job cuts can be found everywhere in the Kansas City area, a major hub for federal agencies. One IRS customer service representative says thousands of co-workers fear they'll lose their jobs, even during tax season. Shannon Ellis says some Kansas City federal workers have taken buyout offers, the same workers who are required to work overtime right now. But it's not just federal employees in Kansas City who are affected by cuts. The U.S. Department of Agriculture revoked a grant to a historically black neighborhood that had planned to expand its fresh produce growing program located in a food desert. And the Kansas City Health Department's lab has equipment dating to when the building opened in the 1990s. The funds for upgrades were eliminated by the Trump administration last month. I'm Donna Water.
When I say people, you say power, people!
They protested across the U.S., in New York and in Washington, D.C., where Morgan of the ANTR Coalition, which stands for Act Now to Stop War and End Racism, told the crowd that when President Donald Trump says get back, the people should fight back.
Although our communities have sought to resist this far-right agenda since its very earliest days, a new mass resistance movement has burst onto the scene since April 5th, involving millions of people across this country. People just like you, who said enough is enough and showed up in the streets to fight back.
April 5th was when people across the country gathered for hands-off rallies. But protesters say since then, the resistance movement has grown. Donna Water, Washington. Iran and the U.S. have agreed to have experts meet to discuss details of a possible deal over Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program. U.S. Mideast envoy Steve Witkoff and Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi held their second round of negotiations at the embassy of Oman in Rome. Araghchi says he and Witkoff had about 4 hours of negotiations, and he calls it a good meeting. He says negotiations are moving forward. Araghchi says this time both sides managed to reach a better understanding about some principles and goals, and he says experts will begin having technical meetings in Oman on Wednesday. President Donald Trump has been pushing for a rapid deal with Iran while also threatening military action. I'm Donna Water.
Thousands of people were in Lexington, Massachusetts Saturday to witness a reenactment of the first battle of the American Revolution.
Present! Fire!
The Lexington Minutemen event celebrates the 250th anniversary. Chair Henry Liu told the crowd of the significance.
This common became the birthplace of American liberty.
Christopher Hurley portrays Reverend Jonas Clark.
Will the world learn the lesson of this day, that tyranny will not be tolerated, that injustice will be resisted with courage and commitment?
When the shot heard round the world was over, 8 Americans lay dead and the American Revolution had begun. 250 years later, Americans still debate the balance of powers. A prince and a knight fall in love and the Supreme Court is asked to intervene. Some Montgomery County, Maryland parents want to pull their children from kindergarten and elementary school classes that use books featuring LGBTQ characters. Parent Billy Mogus with Kids First.
Parents are not comfortable having their children exposed to these things at such an early age.
Parents argue public schools can't force kids to participate in instruction that violates their faith. Attorney Colton Stanberry with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty.
In this country, there's been a long tradition of recognizing that parents get to parent.
The school says the books are not sex ed, but tell everyday tales of characters to represent all Montgomery families. The Supreme Court hears arguments Tuesday. Florida State University students go back to class Monday, 4 days after a deadly shooting on campus that left 2 people, a dining coordinator and a food service vendor, dead and 6 others injured. University officials say there will be a remote option and school is waiving mandatory attendance. Police confronted Florida State student Phoenix Eichner and shot and wounded him. The 20-year-old is the stepson of a sheriff's deputy. Police said they believed Eichner shot the victims using his stepmother's former service handgun, which she had kept for personal use after the force upgraded weapons. I'm Julie Walker.
About 10,000 pages of records related to the 1968 assassination of Robert F. Kennedy have been released, including handwritten notes by the gunman who said that the Democratic presidential candidate must be disposed of and acknowledged an obsession with killing him. The release continues the disclosure of national secrets ordered by President Donald Trump. Kennedy was fatally shot on June 5, 1968, at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, moments after giving a speech celebrating his victory in California's presidential primary. His assassin, Sirhan Sirhan, was convicted of first-degree murder and is serving life in prison. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. The top-seeded Thunder routed the Grizzlies 131-80 in Game 1 of their first-round Western Conference playoff series. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 15 points in the fifth biggest margin of victory in NBA postseason history.
We were who we were all year in those minutes, and it's going to be the key to our success.
The 7-seeded Warriors held on for a 95-85 Game 1 win over the 2nd-seeded Rockets. In the East, the defending champion Celtics earned a 103-86 Game 1 win over the Magic. The top-seeded Cavaliers were 121-100 Game 1 winners over the Heat. Stanley Cup playoffs, the Maple Leafs routed the Senators 6-2 in Game 1 of their first-round series. The Hurricanes topped the Devils 4-1, and the Golden Knights tamed the Wild 4-2, also in Game 1s. And in golf, Justin Thomas snapped a 3-year drought with an RBC Heritage playoff victory. The NHL has set another attendance record and surpassed 23 million fans for the first time. The league reported an attendance figure of 23,014,458 over the 1,312 game regular season. That represents 96.9% capacity over 32 teams, with the Canadiens making up the biggest share thanks to 41 home sellouts with crowds of more than 21,000. It's the third consecutive year the NHL has broken attendance records. The four nations face-off in Montreal and Boston drew an average of more than 19,000. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.